One of the big reasons why the growth of this conference is here, and we're talking about a P6, is because of Mike Oresko. He's led this conference from the start. His expertise in TV and college athletics has been critical in the growth of the American. Round of applause, Mike Oresko.
Thank you, Kevin, for that very kind introduction, and we appreciate all you do at ESPN and all that ESPN and our TV partners do for us. Well, it's a warm one today. We were out with the coaches outside in June, but I know you all are all happy to be here in a wonderful place like Newport. But I want to welcome everyone, and thank you again for being here and for honoring us with your presence. I first want to take a moment this morning to honor former SEC Commissioner Mike Slide, who passed away in May. Much has been written about Mike and his many significant accomplishments on behalf of the SEC and college sports, and they are legion. But the Mike Slive, whom I and his family and his many friends remember, was a warm and gracious human being, you know, a giant of a man who remained humble. Many in this room knew him and have treasured memories of him. His wife Liz, daughter Anna, son-in-law Judd, granddaughter Abigail, are in our thoughts and prayers, and if Mike's looking down this morning, I hope he's enjoying a great cigar, as was his passion. His passing leaves a void in college athletics, and as has been once said, you know, some voids just never get filled. I want to recognize two of our presidents who are leaving their positions. John Hitt of UCF has retired as of July 1. Susan Hurst of UConn will transition to the UConn faculty in July of 19. Both have served our conference extremely well. They've been our board of directors. They've been our board chairs. Both are great leaders. They've had great presidencies. They took their universities to new heights. John managed the phenomenal growth of UCF for 25 years, and his contributions to that university just cannot be overstated. His vision and executive skill transformed UCF in all areas, and his contributions to our conference and his steadfast support have been critical, especially in our early years. We wish John and his lovely wife Martha a wonderful retirement. His successor, Dale Whitaker, will continue and build upon John's great work, and we welcome him to our conference's board of directors. Susan Hurst has been instrumental in making UConn a top 20 public university, number 19 in the latest U.S. News and World Report rankings. She's also managed tremendous growth in all areas of UConn, and she's taught a course of political science annually in addition to her executive duties, which reflects her love of teaching and a connection to her students. She's been a huge asset to the conference and to me during some very trying times. And she and retiring board chair Larry McHugh, who incidentally was my old high school football coach, have been steadfast in their support of the conference. We owe them a great debt of gratitude. We wish Susan and her husband Doug the best as Susan makes this transition. John and Susan are among the five presidents who remain from the turmoil of 5 years ago when the conference was reinvented. Their efforts were critical. Without them, the remarkable progress we've made would not have been possible, and we wish them good luck and we thank them for their service. I also want to recognize Renu Kator. She's the president of the University of Houston. She's our conference's board chair, and also David Rudd, our vice chair, is president of the University of Memphis. Renu is one of the original five to whom I alluded. She's done a remarkable job for the conference and in elevating the University of Houston. Her 10 years there have witnessed tremendous growth in all areas, and David Rudd's tenure at Memphis has seen an unprecedented level of growth in all areas as well. Tom Bowen, who ably serves as our AD chair, has provided counsel and friendship to me that's been invaluable, and also to the conference, of course. We are fortunate to have such distinguished individuals in our conference. I salute the efforts of our great group of presidents and athletic directors for whom I'm privileged to serve. I do want to welcome two of our newest athletic directors. They're joining us in Newport for the first time. Chris Pesman is already a veteran, but he's joining us here for the first time. And Michael Kelly of USF. Michael was scheduled to join us this year as part of his former role as Chief Operating Officer of the College Football Playoff, but we're excited to have him under our banner. He did a phenomenal job at the College Football Playoff, and we're privileged to have him as well as Chris. I want to congratulate David Bassetty and his staff at the University of Houston on their recognition by the Football Writers as one of the Super 11 media relations staffs nationally. I also want to salute my outstanding conference staff who make service to our schools their highest priority. Scott Draper and his team do an excellent job overseeing our football. Bernie Caffarelli has been mentioned, and Chuck Sullivan do the same, handling our communications. And everyone involved deserves kudos for organizing our Media Day events, especially Lisa Zanecchia, who makes this event a great success every year. A shout out also to Donna DeMarco, our COO, who sees to it that our conference office runs seamlessly. I want to extend a warm welcome to all of our guests, including our TV partners, ESPN and CBS Sports, who do so much to build our brand nationally, and the many bowl representatives who are here who've supported us over the years. We also welcome Tim Henning from the Heisman Trophy Trust and thank him for bringing the most iconic individual award in sports to our event. I have a feeling that some of the players in this room might have a chance to meet with Tim again and be reacquainted with the Heisman in December in New York City. And as a side note, I'm also happy to report that I think we set another unofficial record for lobsters consumed last night at the Clam Bake. We appreciate the media's attendance and interest in us and their support for the great game of college football. And my mention of them at this point is not to suggest that they ate all the lobsters, but we're great to have them. In mentioning our great game, I would be remiss in not pointing out that it faces significant challenges. Issues of health and safety are among the most important. We take these extremely seriously. There is danger, yes, in playing football. The game is safer than ever before. The protective equipment more sophisticated than ever before. No human undertaking can be made completely safe, but we will never stop striving to reach that goal. I am reminded, though, of what ECU coach Scotty Montgomery said a while back, that football has benefited countless young men over the years. Steve Hatchell, the president and CEO of the National Football Foundation and Hall of Fame, again, has honored us with his presence and has shared his concerns regarding the health of the game and the steps that the NFF has taken to address them. And they are many, and he has educated us extremely well. We applaud his and his staff's efforts, and everyone who loves college football is in his debt. As you all know, we just celebrated our fifth anniversary as the American Athletic Conference, as Kevin alluded to. And in those 5 years, we've accomplished a great deal. The phenomenal success we've enjoyed is in direct proportion to the valiant efforts of our student athletes, coaches, administrators, institutional support staff, and our conference office staff. Our presidents and athletic directors have had a vision for this conference, a Power Six vision. We're fulfilling that promise. It was evident in our early years. They've made the commitment necessary for us to approach Power Six status, and they provided the resources in a tough environment that have enabled our student athletes to compete at the highest level. I want to mention a few things that have transpired over the past year that reflect the cohesion of this conference. One is the outstanding cooperation of our schools in rearranging our football schedules in the wake of Hurricanes Harvey and Irma. Many schools were disadvantaged as a result, but our eight-game conference schedule was preserved, and this commitment to the integrity of our schedule brought honor to our schools. I also salute Scott Draper and Tom O'Jackson and our conference staff for the countless hours of hard work it took to develop alternate schedules that worked. The second item, although a non-football one, also reflects the values of this conference, and that's the seamless nature of Wichita State's entry into the conference this past year in basketball and Olympic sports. Wichita State has been a great addition. Our membership was welcome and enthusiastic, and congratulations to Wichita State President John Bardo and Athletic Director Darren Bowright for their success and the immediate camaraderie they fostered in the conference. It's hard to put into words for the admiration I have for our football teams and what they've accomplished over the past 5 years. We're now a nationally respected brand. We couldn't have made that claim 5 years ago, although our potential even then was apparent. The work it took to reach this point has been enormous. The challenge is great. As you all know, we've taken on the best teams, the best of the best in the other P6 conferences, and we've won our share. We've had many signature victories, all the more remarkable as we play so many of those games on the road. We have a 3-0 record in New Year's Day bowl games, all wins against top 10 teams. None of this has been easy. It's taken a fearlessness and a grit to capture the imagination of the country. I salute the UCF Knights on their great undefeated season and on the national championship that they have a right to claim. They finished number one in the Colley Computer Index. Many schools over the years, including Alabama, have claimed national championships based on such metrics. We congratulate the Alabama Crimson Tide and Nick Saban on their CFP title, and we respect the CFP process. We're part of it. That does not mean we cannot celebrate our UCF Knights. They've become a national brand and helped our conference become a national brand. And in congratulating UCF, I'm reminded that Scott Frost showed great class in coaching the team in its Peach Bowl win over Auburn. He brought honor to the coaching profession. He helped make the 2017 UCF season one his players and their fans will never forget. I also want to remind everyone that this has not been an issue of war and peace. I'm not referring to the novel. I'm just saying it's just not an issue that people should get too worked up about. UCF and its fans and followers around the country should enjoy this. But there's a larger point that can be made. This UCF team deserved a shot at the national championship, and I'm convinced they could have won it. Our best teams, which were New Year's Bowl winners, UCF in 14 and 17 and Houston in 15, as far as I'm concerned, could have beaten anyone in the country. And the same can be said of some of our other strong programs. I hope that UCF's performance in 17 and the performances of so many of our teams over our five-year history, and let's not forget Memphis, which lost in double overtime in the championship game this year, convinces the CFP selection committee to take a closer look, to evaluate us differently. Our league is very good, very underrated despite our success. And there's no question that G5 tag has had a lot to do with it, and that's why P6 is there, and that's why we're trying to do away with the G5 tag. Houston's ranking in 2015, UCF's ranking in 17, neither made sense. And each team proved that in their respective New Year's Day Bowl wins. We do not want a glass or grass, if you will, ceiling in college football. It's terribly unfair to our players and coaches. I've been saying for a long time that the world has changed. It behooves all of us to recognize that, and sometimes we don't. College football is far more democratized than it once was. Yes, the so-called blue blood programs still tend to dominate from year to year, and the autonomous conferences have some advantages in money, tradition, facilities, name recognition, television exposure, and fan bases. But other schools can now emerge and are emerging. Our conference is a prime example of this. UCF, Houston, USF, Memphis, Navy, Temple, and others in our league have reached new heights. We have depth. We've had multiple 9 and 10 and 11 and 12 win teams. Cincinnati and ECU have had outstanding success in our league and will return to prominence. SMU, Tulsa, and UConn have been to bowl games, and Tulane is on the cusp. With scholarship limits, online and TV exposure, population growth, social media, sophisticated recruiting. With all these things now in place, we can compete with anyone as never before. If you're committed to hiring good coaches and improving your facilities, and if you care, which we do, you can compete. Yet, I still see our teams getting slighted. I see television shows where the focus is on Alabama, Clemson, Miami, Auburn, Ohio State, Georgia, when in fact USF or UCF or Memphis are major challengers and they're not mentioned sometimes. The game between Oklahoma and Houston in 2016 is a perfect example. Baker Mayfield got all the attention and he's a great player, but Greg Ward in Houston won decisively. We'll keep fighting for the attention and recognition that we deserve, and we're going to put to rest that strength of schedule argument that's used against us, and I don't buy it for a moment. I ask you to look at the talented players assembled in this room today, terrific student athletes. We have All-Americans, Heisman Trophy candidates, national award winners, and high-achieving scholars. Look at Ed Oliver, whom Sports Illustrated calls the best player in the country. Look at Mackenzie Milton, who might well be the best quarterback in the nation. Look at Tony Pollard, who is unquestionably the most dangerous return man in the country. In fact, with those three young men, we once again are the only conference in the country that has its offensive, defensive, and special teams players of the year back from last year. This conference has always had great players. In fact, our fifth anniversary team, the thing that struck me is there are so many great players conspicuous by their absence. You just couldn't include everyone. We've had so many great players. For example, what can you say about Shaquem Griffin that hasn't already been said? A great young man, and in a larger sense, he reflected and epitomized our league. Unappreciated until we do something remarkable. Underrated until we shock the world, as we did in the Peach Bowl this year, in the 2015 Peach Bowl, in the 2000 Fiesta Bowl. All P6 victories as huge underdogs. We do it with class on the field and in the classroom and in the community. Shaquem represents the best of the best and inspires those who struggle to overcome adversity. and I would be remiss in not mentioning the midshipmen of Navy, the outstanding young men who will eventually be in harm's way to preserve our freedoms and our way of life. That said, I'm proud of all of our outstanding student athletes. I love being commissioner of this conference because I take pride and enormous pleasure in all the successes of our student athletes and coaches from each of our great institutions. They overcome great odds with talent, grit, and determination. We've accomplished far more in 5 years than virtually anyone thought we could, and the best is yet to come. And we also have great students in our universities. It was alluded to today, the year-long Student Athlete Advisory Committee initiative addressing mental health issues and academic achievement, the Powerful Minds campaign. It shows their commitment. You've heard a lot about the Power Six, or P6 as we refer to it in shorthand. And I've said that it's no longer a media or promotional campaign. It's reality. This conference has proven time and again it belongs in the so-called power group. Tremendous energy has been invested in that campaign. 2017 has been another major step forward as UCF went undefeated and, of course, defeated Auburn in the Peach Bowl. As I've said many times over the years, that to belong in this group, one does not have to be the Big Ten or the SEC. Neither are some of the other Autonomy 5 conferences the equivalent of the Big Ten or the SEC in resources and other things. We simply have to show that although we're somewhat different, we're very much alike, and we belong in that company. I like to use the analogy, we can be JetBlue, which is a major carrier, but it's clearly different than a United or a Delta or an American. I think the comparison's apt because we're a major conference, but we do things a bit differently. We recruit a bit differently, we hire coaches differently, we schedule a bit differently. Witness our Thursday and Friday football schedules on ESPN, which has given us tremendous national exposure. But in many of the key ways that matter, we're alike. We have a clear commonality with the autonomy conferences, and that can't be argued. The issues our schools face are similar, and many times they're the same as those schools face. We play football and basketball at the absolute highest levels, as well as Olympic sports, and we have large and important schools, smaller schools that are some of the most outstanding academic schools in the country. We pay the cost of attendance for our student athletes. We sign on to all of the autonomous legislation. We have television exposure as good or better than some of the autonomous conferences, and we are on par with them comparatively. Our revenue differential has perhaps been the biggest obstacle in being viewed and accepted as a P6 conference. We intend to remedy that in our upcoming TV media rights negotiation. We have been and will continue to be an innovative conference, and this innovation is going to be increasingly valuable as we approach our media rights negotiation. I take enormous pride in what this conference has accomplished over its five-year history, what our schools have accomplished. We all know where we were in 2013 when we launched this reinvented and rebranded conference and how we're perceived now. It's night and day. The potential we had in the wake of realignment is being realized, and much faster and on a much greater scale than I think anyone could have imagined. Brick after brick has been laid, and now the foundation has been built. For our conference, this is, paraphrasing something Winston Churchill once said, it's not the end or even the beginning of the end, but it is clearly the end of the beginning. We have much work to do, but we're confident and established, and we have opportunities that not many thought we would have. If I said back in 2013, that in 5 years we would clearly be knocking on the autonomy door, you would have, many of you to put it politely, doubted me. But mark my words, we will eventually get there. We're never going to settle for second-class status. We're never going to accept a silly non-power designation. We're going to continue to fight. We're never going to surrender to the naysayers, and they're always going to be with us. However, the skeptics are fewer in number, I'm happy to report. Although some still tell us that P6 is an impossible dream. As I said, I don't believe that for a moment. These same skeptics likely would not have given George Washington and his colonial army much chance against the mighty British either. We all know how that one turned out. The only failure on our part that would ever concern me would be the failure to strive, to set lofty goals, to fight the good fight, to fight on, to prevail against heavy odds. We're happy warriors. We're taking the fight to a group that, frankly, we would rather join than fight. And I believe we can see the latter outcome not far down the road. When we stand on the New Year's Day game platforms, we're undefeated, as I said, in three New Year's Day games, the only three we played in since 14, won them all. We represent power. When the UConn men stood on the NCAA basketball national championship platform, they represented power. And the UConn women did so multiple times. They represented power. We've won individual NCAA awards. We've won individual NCAA titles. We've won individual NCAA sport championships. And when we did that, we represented power. When our student athletes receive their degrees, and when they play with sportsmanship, and when they serve their communities, they represent power and a powerful vision. When you win 26 P6 games in the past 3 years, including high-profile wins against Oklahoma, Florida State, Auburn, Ole Miss, UNC, NC State, Pittsburgh, Louisville twice, among many others, it is no fluke. When you have 90-plus games each with 1 million or more television viewers involving our teams, it is no fluke. When you have 15 NFL draft picks of the Big 12's 14 in 2017, it is no fluke. When you've set NCAA all-time receiving records, when you have an Outland Trophy winner, a Nagurski Award winner, two Sullivan Award winners, and a host of other individual awards, it is no fluke. If this is not power, then power loses its definition. There's symmetry in the tagline, P6 in year six, but never has it been more on point. Our student athletes compete successfully at the highest level in the climate of compliance, and they contribute in many ways to their schools and their communities. I applaud the student athletes in this room, their coaches, and their colleagues across all of our campuses. I look forward with great anticipation to another outstanding football season. I wish you all well, and may we win our share. Thank you very much for attending, and we appreciate your support.
We have time for about